12:40. And welcome all committee staff and executives back to the airport committee for 2014. It's certainly, I hope this year will be a very productive year for us all. I'd also like to acknowledge the Kariyarra people, who are the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, their leaders, future, past, current and future, and thank them for the contribution they have made to the betterment of the town of Port Hedland. So, do we have any, moving on to item two, reporting of attendance and apologies. Do we have any apologies?
Search.
Okay. 2.3, approved leave of absence. We have Councillor Jan Gillingham. Okay. Item 3.1, questions from public at Airport Committee meeting held on the 13th of December. There were nil. Item 3.2, questions from committee members at Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 13th of December. Mayor Howlett had a question regarding the use of the trolleys and the website for advertising. Do we have we got any a response to that, Mayor Howlett?
There's the a chair? Response there.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yep. I'll ask.
You're happy with
later.
That?
Yep.
Okay. Councillor Hunt, 3.2.2, you're happy with the response there?
Thank you.
No worries. Public time, and I'd like to welcome today to the gallery Daniel Smith. Daniel is the replacement for Peter Hayes with CASA, so he will be doing a statement to us a bit later on. So welcome, Daniel. Thank you very much for you taking the time to be here. Just an important notice, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meetings unless that person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. So with that, we move into 4.1, public question time. Are there any questions from the public? We'll declare public question time opened and closed at 12:43. And we'll open public statement time at 12:44 and welcome Daniel Smith. Daniel.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing? Come up, by all means.
Sure.
Grab a seat.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me here today. I just want to come up and introduce myself. I'm taking over from Peter Hay, who was the Aviation Relations Manager previously at Air Services Australia. So I've got into the role. Just a bit of a background for myself. I've been in aviation for about 8 years now. Started off at National Jet as a ground handler, progressed up through the ranks to Ground Operations Manager, and then got snapped up by the airport where I've been for 7 years since then in various capacities as a duty manager of operations for the terminals and just recently as systems and resources controller for the airport. So come to Air Services Australia with a little bit of background in airline and airports. So it's excellent to start getting out and meeting everyone. And obviously Port Hedland at the moment is a massive focus for us for infrastructure and putting resources in at the moment. So it's a very exciting time to come on board and say hello to everyone.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. If there are any questions that anyone has about what Air Services Australia activities are around the place, I'll leave my card with Anna. Anna's got all my contact details. So if there's any ever questions that you want to know about Air Services Australia, please get a hold of me. And I'm on the phone, on the email all the time, and I'm sure I'll be able to provide a quick response with any questions at all.
Sensational. Thank you, Daniel. How often do we expect to see you here on a face-to-face visit?
As often as possible. Obviously, with all the infrastructure that's going in with the new fire station at the moment, and also a Class D control tower is going in, scheduled for the 13th of November 2014, which is will bring the aerodrome back into a controlled environment, which is brilliant. So obviously with all the works, it'll be myself or Steve Davies, who is the Chief of the ARF for Western Australia, the Rescue Firefighting Service guys. Between us, we will be up here regularly. So yeah, no, I really hope to keep going what Peter had started in the first place. I know that there was a lot of good dialogue between Peter and Port Hedland, the town of Port Hedland, so we'll just keep that going perfectly.
Fantastic. Committee, any questions for Daniel? No? Daniel, thank you for taking the time, and we look forward to certainly further enhancing our relationship that we currently share with Air Services Australia, and we would invite you back at a later stage sometime in the next few months to perhaps give us a bit of an update on what the activities are and what will happen, especially around the exciting, you know, news about the control tower. So we'd invite you back to do a short presentation to council.
It'll be my pleasure.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks very much.
No
good
worries.
To meet you.
Yes, and you as well.
Right. We will declare public statement time closed at 12:46 then. Okay, item 5, questions from members without notice. Mayor Howard.
I've got 4, if I could.
Sure.
Madam Chair, just wondering an update on the installation of the suggestions issues report box at the terminal.
Yes, I believe I will throw that over to the airport director because he's actually, we discussed the suggestion box.
Yeah, through the chair.
Yeah,
and through the chair.
Yeah, director of engineering then.
Sorry. I'm through the chair and I only thought of this yesterday.
Acting CEO, sorry.
No, I only thought of this yesterday and I was going to ask Bob. I don't know whether there might be any security issues with a box that people can put stuff inside in the terminal. I don't know.
Yeah, I've asked OTS to give us a clarity on it.
No.
I don't see it's any difference to a key drop.
Yeah, I just.
But at the same time, there's a possibility there may be a contravention with the front of our security. So I've asked OTS to give us a clarification. I'm still waiting for that. I've asked them in writing, so I'm waiting for the confirmation to come back.
So it might be on a location, might have to be. Yeah,
it would could never be within a secure area.
Thank you.
We'll keep that on notice.
So when Bob gets that advice, he can return it back to this committee.
Great. Just an update on the fixing of the missing concrete of the footpath that's missing from the final short-term car park where you take your luggage and cross over to the long-term car park.
Yeah, through the chair. We've got to put a little concrete path in leading down to the RFDS score there, and I'm going to do it at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So I'll organise those works. I've just got to catch up with the contractor, so I'd say before our next meeting. It's not a particularly big job.
Okay. Just a time frame on the commencement of advertising on our airport website.
I'll put that through to the director of airport.
We're currently investigating the viability of doing it. Absolutely, there's no contractual reasons for why we cannot. I think we talked about WA billboards having contractual rights for advertising across the airport, which incorporates the baggage trolleys and the like. But in terms of the time frame, in terms of doing it on the website, that's feasible. I might throw to Anna just quickly on this one. Yep, you are there. In terms of timeframes on the website, we haven't actually mapped out timeframes for putting advertising.
So as Brett said, we're investigating the viability of it and just checking with our usage rates as to whether that would be attractive for people to advertise on the website. So that project is underway at the moment, and it's just looking at talking with advertising agencies, for example, as to whether that would be something that would be attractive for people. But I do note the query about that we should be getting advertising on the website, so we are looking into that.
And you don't think it's something we could do internally, like it has to go to an advertising agency?
It is something that we could look at, but in terms of going to an agency, I'm talking about how attractive it would be. So getting an understanding of the number of website hits that would justify people advertising on the website.
To notice.
I guess the reason why I'm bringing it up, Madam Chair, is that the shuttle service, the airport shuttle service, has directly asked if they could please advertise on our website. So I guess I'm just wondering what time frame we could get back to them to say yes or no. Or
sure. Well, perhaps we could implement action along that director and have Anna contact that business in particular. And I think, and we just, I can't see you, but I know you're behind the order. Just, we have had that brief discussion about just seeing what we could put on there anyway prior to those other investigations you're doing.
Yeah. So. And just for background, I have been in regular dialogue with the airport shuttle about what we can do within the terminal and then within the taxi rank as well. And I know they have had some challenges with the other users of the airport and where they have to go. So we are working through that in combination with the operations team.
So can we get a report back by next meeting?
Yes.
Great, thanks. Is that
and
you
just,
satisfied with that?
Madam Chair, happy with that? Just a time frame for the advertisement of an RFP for interested parties to operate their own independent coffee cart in the terminal? Is there any way we could get a firm time frame on that?
Sure, Director.
Yeah, as discussed previously, I haven't actually looked at that in terms of firming up a time frame, so apologies we haven't dealt with it before this meeting, but we'll take that on notice and look at developing a time frame for an RFP.
So we can expect that to be brought back to the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Satisfied with that, Madam Mayor? Cool. Anything else?
No.
Dr. King?
No, I haven't.
Nothing, Madam Mayor. Madam Chair, sorry.
Given that title back happily, by the way. Councillor.
Just referring back to Mayor Hallett with the question on the coffee cart, what are the operating hours meant to be of the cafe?
Cafe's meant to open, I think it's half an hour before the departing flight, an hour before departures and the last, so starting departures, and half an hour before the last flight leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's meant to be their operating hours. So there is a period in the middle of the day where they do close, because it falls outside of those hours when there are no aircraft operations.
Okay, so referring back to that, if you've got international flights coming in the mornings, they should rightfully be open to serve coffee and stuff while you're waiting.
Yes, they should. Yes, they should. And sometimes we've had to remind them of their leasehold obligations.
Yeah, because it happened a couple of weeks ago with an international flight as well too.
Yeah.
Flight was delayed and they weren't open, so you know, people waiting over an hour and couldn't get a drink or anything happening.
No, great. Well, anytime any of that happens, please let us know, because we can follow up with them to make sure that they can blow their lease.
Yeah, their name's us to write to them and then you're heading down that breach of lease path.
Yeah.
Once we've got a record of it.
So may I suggest on the back of that we do write and you maybe give the date so that we have a written trail on that, because that's not the first occurrence and I think one of the biggest fears for us is international flights attract out-of-towners vacating from Port Hedland doesn't give us a very good name, because they don't realise that the cafe is not run by Town of Port Hedland, they just assume that it's us. So I think the more paper trail along that, then that gives us enough grounds to take, you know, affirmative action. Thanks, Councillor Newbury. Anything else?
No. That's what you call the Newbury. I'm just thinking.
Butson.
You know what? I've known you that long. Sorry. Flo. Cool. All right, no worries. Well, let's move on to the airport agenda. Declaration of item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before them. Can I have a show of hand, please? Let the record reflect 6-0. Item 7, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. 7.1, confirmation of the minutes the airport committee meeting held on Friday the 13th of December. I have a mover. Thank you.
Second.
Mayor Howlett. Thank you, Councillor Hunt. All in favour? 6-0. Item 8, announcement by presiding members without discussion. I have nil for this time. I'm sure we'll have a lot more, other than the fact that we have implemented a regular meeting between the airport director and his assistant to discuss any events that might be relevant to the committee meetings which are being held. So if anyone's got any, they're more than welcome to drop into that meeting session. We'll issue invites to committee members along that. Cool. Item 9, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. We have nil for today. Item 10, reports of the officer. 10.1.1, investment in business development. 10.1.1.1, exercise of lease option and reduction of lease area to the Bureau of Meteorology, Port Hedland International Airport, with the officer's recommendation on page... Sorry, I'm working off a computer, so it's no... On page 14. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Seconder? Thank you, Mayor Howard. All in favour? Let the record reflect 6-0. Okay, I've just been notified that there was an item 9 and there was the Director of Airport Redevelopment's presentation that should have been listed as part of the agenda. So if I may, with the committee's indulgence, refer back to item 9.1 and add that as the Program Director's update. I apologise for that. I thought, oh my goodness, I've done something wrong.
I thought we were just going to do it at the end then, but that's quite okay. Great, thanks. Thanks everyone. As part of the regular reviews, we did the presentation as an update. Just leading on from what we spoke about earlier in terms of cash flows, this is obviously a developed on the back of that and a work in progress, but this will let you know where exactly where we are.
Is there a copy of this, Madam Chair?
Hopefully this
there
works.
There is. I think it's inside of your... It's an attachment
to your...
Yeah. It was an attachment.
No.
Oh, actually, you know what? It was a soft copy attachment.
No, this
everyone got this email.
This presentation is normally developed just prior to the meeting to pick up anything new that happens between now and then. That's why it's done.
I'm happy to have a hard copy on the day. I just prefer because I write notes, that's all.
No problem at all, yeah. So that's why you don't normally find it as part of your pack. But yeah,
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll run through the strategic reviews, where we're at to date, the redevelopment timeline, the airport interim improvement program, the communications update, and just some operational updates as well. Okay, strategic review. So, within the strategic review program, we'll be addressing the freight logistics concepts, the airside operations, the apron extension, the terminal, and the ground transport. I'm running through this reasonably quickly because it hasn't changed too much from the... Why is it not responding? There we go. So we're going to run through the strategic priorities first of all. We introduced this as our first part of our presentation in December. And just to refresh everyone's memories, it's just to talk about the jigsaw puzzle, if you like, what needs to happen and in what order it needs to happen to allow the redevelopment of ultimately the car park and the terminal. So there's the establishment of services, which is the sewer and water services. There's the general aviation Norfolk apron expansion zone, the freight zone and the logistics zone, and then moving into the car parks. And there's just a note in the presentation that what overarching review will be undertaken on the governance model for the airport going forward, and that's now been introduced into the program as well. And that will also be informing the funding and funding proposals, as you would have seen in the confidential concept forum, the sources of funding, and that will also be picked up within that governance model.
Any indicative time frame when that review will be complete?
Essentially, it's starting from today, if you like. I've written a briefing paper to go to exec which will happen as soon as Mel's back on board, basically. And then it's we're going to run it as an 18-month program.
18 months.
Yeah. But you'll see that actually in the printed presentation when as we go forward. Okay, just so the first piece of the jigsaw puzzle is the establishment of the northern apron for general aviation hangars. Designs are being worked on. They're not finalised, but I imagine it will be around four hangars will be able to be established up there. The reason for that is it allows for the relocation of the current general aviation operators that currently sit on the RPT operation, which is a conflict with the current operations, and move them to the northern apron. This all helps us to start the terminal program. So with the relocation of those, we can then also use that area for operational purposes. Okay. So as part, also under this project, there will be the services, there will be the engagement with Water Corp to start discussing and programming in the provision for electricity, water and wastewater. Electricity is not Water Corp, obviously. Electricity is currently underway. There's the upgrade of the Ringland Main, which is currently underway as well. And we have started the engagement with Water Corp in terms of establishing a program and priorities for the establishment of wastewater and water. And the general aviation expansion helps in that process. The freight zone needs to also be established as a next step, which will enable the terminal expansion, enables the existing freight tenant to move, because that's also in the way of the terminal expansion, and relies on services being established, which, as I said before. Okay, so with the GA apron now established and the operations over there, there's the relocation of the terminal freight zone. Now these pictures are laid out in logical order, but you'll see from the program there's a good deal of overlap within this program as well, because some things can happen while other things are happening as well. But the freight area comes out of the area of the shed that's directly next to the terminal, moves into that freight area. So with the establishment of the freight logistics zone, we'd be looking at how we can stage the development of the freight logistics area, just to perhaps bring those lots on first, so we can expedite the relocation of the freight area. So if I just bring all these up, so if we're establishing the freight zone, and then we have the ops zone to move the operational team. So once again, obviously, we've relocated the current GA, the GA tenant into the new GA area, and this also enables its expansion of the terminal in that direction as well. And the ops zone is then created in that area there. This ops zone is shown as quite a large area because it will incorporate a range of operational matters, including the storage and maintenance of ground service equipment. And that's the ops team obviously moving into that location there. I think I'm going to crush it if I keep pushing it too hard. Once again, building the building blocks, the ops zone's now established. And the logistics zone, we start to our conversation with rental car operators, and we start to look at the relocation of workshops and the like from the car park area to enable the expansion and the development of the car park. And once again, it relies on the services being established in the freight logistics zone. It's like not forgetting that as well. Am I actually doing this, or are you doing it?
I'm
Thanks for that. I'm not quite sure what's going on with
just
it.
As long as
I think you pointed it.
Pointed at Grace.
Pointed at Grace.
Ah, that's how it works. So the logistics rental car zone is now established, and now we can really get into the terminal work. So it is a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, and they're coming out of that area there, essentially to enable the relocation. So now, as in the blue areas highlighted, is the car park and the terminal. They're programmed to actually happen at the same time, and they will go out as a package of work. What happens to the terminal in terms of terminal redevelopment will influence what happens to the ground transport car parking area. So those two are inextricably linked as part of this process. So we've now established our logistics zone, our freight zone and our ops zone, and we're working on this area here in the car park and the terminal reconfigurations. That's essentially the jigsaw puzzle. It is you doing it. And that's the completed picture.
So just now looking at the timeline, now we've done that, I intend just to leave that in the presentation going forward, just as a reminder of the steps.
Yep.
But next time, Matt, rather than run through it, I'll just skip through it. But if there are any questions, you know, we can take it.
Sure.
Yeah. Just to save time. So, it's a bit hard to read, and I think we can potentially go to the spreadsheet if that's a little bit easier for everyone to see. It's just on the USB stick. Oh, that works better. we can then expand it a little bit. Is that easier to read for everyone?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so from our last meeting, there was a number of other items that needed to be included in the total program. So we've now included those items in the total program. So just working from the top, there's the interim works program, which is a range of works that we'll run through later in the presentation, but include the increased secure area. That's going out to tender in this period, and I'll provide that detail later. But basically, it's all set to be completed by the end of June. That interim works program will get us through to mid-2015 when we've slated the terminal works. Now, bearing in mind that puzzle that I just showed you, that has driven, I guess, the establishment of these timelines in the overall program. You'll see that we've got the governance review, which will commence this year, and that will run for approximately an 18-month period. To establish what will be the town's preferred position in terms of what will be the governance structure going forward and what that might look like. It's a largish program. There is the establishment of electricity and electricity is the ring main, and there is the potential design scope change on that as well as some of the upgrades through that. So that's a work in progress. The actual water and wastewater treatment, there's the negotiation and establishment of terms of reference with Water Corp, moving into a design and tender and construction phase. At this stage, it's looking like, this is advice from Water Corp, that we could have water to the site by close to mid-2015, end of May 2015, based on the timelines they've given us so far, quite high level, but based on those timelines. Sewer is a problem for us because sewer doesn't get delivered until mid-2016. So we will have to have some interim solutions in place, which could be sewer, on-site storage and truckage and the like of sewer, such that we can continue to develop the freight logistics zone and other developments in the interim period. The logistics area, the subdivision for that, there is a design review that will now be undertaken given the recommendations that came out of the Rabine report, which had some reconfigurations of some of the lots to provide more airside access, direct airside access to some of the proposed freight areas. There will be a tender period which will happen in the next financial year, and then a construction period ending at the end of March 2015, currently under program. As you can see, overlapping with that, once we're actually out to tender, we can start the conversation, because once we've got a firm program, we can start the conversation with the car rental companies to establish agreements for lease, to enter into land leases with them for the various sites for their workshops and the like. And then there is a construction period for them, which will run in towards the end of 2015 before we have them all off-site and out of the car park precinct. The freight hub has also been programmed. This is in terms of the RFP to look for an operator to build, own and operate the international freight facilities. There will be an RFP that will go out mid this year, and that will then culminate in a commercial negotiation with an agreement for lease. And then ultimately they will construct a facility to operate freight operations from that area. Then there is also RFPs for the design stage of the car park and the terminals. Then there will be a period of work to go into detailed design. This program currently, because of the way the program fits, the detail, there is sufficient time in there to go to 100% design. So that's actually currently programmed in at this stage. with a tender and then construction commencing around mid-2015 on both of those, car park being delivered much sooner than the terminal, but recognising that there is some staging within the car park with the relocation of some of those car rental operators, that construction program does look long, but it's just recognising that, it'll be a staged construction program for the car park. In terms of power in pushback operations, we had a workshop late this year, and there's a package of information that we now need to send to airlines, so we will schedule another workshop with them in February. And that's now programmed in with a view to starting power in pushback operations at this stage at the end of November. That is to align up with the establishment of the air traffic control tower because the will be controlled by
ground surface control.
Ground surface control. Thank you very much. Will be controlled by the tower. So that lines up neatly with that. And the airlines are supportive of it. There needs to be a commercial discussion around costs of these operations because there will be tow bars, tractors and things like that to operate. And there will be increased cost of operation. So we've had a very initial conversation and we plan to have workshops over the next 3 months to hopefully finalise all of that and then implement this program. There will be a period of training of 2 to 3 months. Each operator needs to have done a minimum, I think, of 30 pushbacks before they'll be allowed to touch live aircraft, so to speak. And so that all needs to be programmed in as part of this approach.
So, Brett, just wondering where we are in terms of those discussions of who would own it and who would do it. Like, I think the last meeting we were sort of talking about, would it be the air service provider, would it be us, and yeah, all this. Where are we at with those discussions?
Where we ended up, we actually had four models. One model being you're quite right, one model being the airlines own it and the ground handlers operate and maintain the GSE, the ground service equipment. The other model being the ground handler owns, operates and maintains the ground service equipment, with us owning, operating and maintaining the ground service equipment, or us owning the ground service equipment and the ground handler maintaining and operating the ground service equipment. The two models that were agreed for further discussion was the ground handler and us. Now when I say us, it was us owning the GSC. The airlines said they were quite uncomfortable with us owning and operating the GSC because of the whole range of operational matters and insurance matters and the like. Ground handlers have a certification process, and that was all part of that discussion. So we agreed that we would look at those two models going forward. Our preference would be to own the equipment, only because of the risks. We only got one ground handler up here in Port Hedland. Mm-hmm. If they lost the contract, they would up stumps, take the bat and ball, so to speak. They would take the GSC with them. And they've said that they would redeploy them at other airports. Mm-hmm. You could have contractual arrangements to step in and take over the equipment. The only issue you have with that is they'd actually have contracts with airlines and not with us. And so our preference would be to actually own the equipment and lease it to them, basically.
Yeah, I think if I might just add to that too, one of the other problems you've got there is at the moment you've only got one ground handler servicing two airlines, and airlines don't sit comfortable in that circumstance. So it may be that they may want to spin off and have a separate one handling each airline. If that was the case, I'd have, and we didn't have control over the equipment, you'd have no competition on the apron.
The airlines were very, very cautious about a level playing field. So there was some discussion about, do we incorporate the charges within our airport charges, which they were comfortable with, or does it become something we lease it to the ground handler potentially, and the ground handler incorporates those charges within the charges they charge to airlines. Their issue with that was, what if there's someone who pulls in who doesn't get handled by the ground handler or doesn't get pushed back? Do they get a cheaper service than us? And we're essentially operating the same service. So there was a bit of conversation around that. Yeah.
So when will that come back?
It's probably not going to come back for a couple of months. We've got probably two workshops away, and that's probably 2 months' worth. I will bring it back as an update to the committee within this forum. And just to update you as to where we're at, but we're probably not bringing it back to, I've done a very high level program at this stage, but we're probably looking at bringing it back for approval, because it will potentially involve the purchase of equipment. I'm thinking, I can't remember, Bob, was it May or June or something?
You've got it started,
yeah. It's May or June, somewhere around that figure, but it's pretty true to that timeline. It's got to start, well, it doesn't have to start by December, but because we're having tower operations that time, it was a good start point to start it.
It was one of the elements actually picked.
If we're talking about equipment procurement in May, then it would stand to reason we start 2 months before.
Yeah, it needs to be.
So bring it back to March and have a discussion.
By March.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Just on those extra tugs, is there many different makes of them, or are they pretty much one brand?
It's probably a better place to answer this, but if I made a high level, you have certain weighted tugs for certain sized aircraft, and then you have a number of tow bars for a variety of aircraft. There has been a suggestion, actually it came from Air Services, around a nose lifter, can I call it that? But basically a tow barless tug, which is capable of handling a large range of aircraft, and it basically lifts the nose bar and pushes the aircraft out. So it does it without touching the axles or anything else like that, so it can be used for a range of aircraft. So there is a range of options we can look at, and we haven't started that process yet, really. We've got some high-level quotes, it's fair to say, on what the equipment is. It's looking like around, it's about 500,000,
If I might just explain that, the airlines are specific about what equipment they'll let touch their aeroplanes. Most of them, all of them, are comfortable with BlissFox. Qantas will only allow in the PN Industries tow bars, and other ones I tap from Curtis in America, and there's a range of them. But basically, I tend to make it work. You need to work within the confines of Australian produced stuff. Well, that's a fib, because actually they're not produced in Australia, they're produced in Thailand and imported. But the ones that the airlines, if you don't use it, what they recommend, or they get near their $30 million aeroplane, you've got to strive. So, and we've reached that point, so we know what they'll all agree to.
Yeah. And if you're wondering why I'm involved in this whole process, it's because it affects the program. So Bob and I are working on this together.
Cool. Also, you're an accountant, mate. You did the figures far better than me.
Yeah, I've been looking at the charging figures. All right, okay. So that's the program for that, and then it just shows ongoing operations going forward. As well as that, there is the general aviation apron, and then there's the relocation of the GA general aviation tenants within there. And you can see we've overlapped some of that, because as we're building the apron, there's the potential to start the construction on the actual hangar facilities as well. But we're looking at delivery early 2015, and the operations building, looking at the relocation, any construction that needs to take place. You can see the original budget amount is still there for that amount, but that was looking at that happening by mid-2015. And that all fits in within that the key priorities slides that I showed. Thank you. I'm going to push this. That was never going to work. Okay, interim improvement program. Very quickly. Oops, I think we both got it then. Series of works have been identified to ease congestion in the terminal. We've spoken about this before, and to remove amenity in the precinct, and start to position the airport as a welcoming gateway. So starting to pick up that sense of port heading in place and the placemaking. So starting to pick those things up through the provision of art walls on the exterior and arts programs inside and the like. So there's lots of things we can do, recognising it's quite a long time frame. And it also draws on the placemaking director, as I said, and it's an $800,000 budget, and you've got that breakup in front of you today, which we talked about earlier on. So tender, the tender process has commenced. The tender will release 15th of January, public notice period in the West Australian and the Northwest. We'll start on the 22nd. There's a site briefing on a Friday, on the 24th of January, and the tenders will close on the 4th of February. So we should be able to bring preliminary results of that tender to the next airport committee meeting. They're just closing just prior to that. Contract award on the 26th of February, obviously once approval from the OCM, and works will commence shortly after and following that. So there's just a copy of the notice that's been placed in the public notice period. All right. This is probably quite a complicated diagram, but this is where we ended up, and this is part of the tender package and part of the works documentation and scope. Just to highlight these other bubbles, you click it again. There we go. The CLAF-A enclosure with the split mesh. So part of the works in here is to enclose the cafe. So once this all becomes post-screening, we're still establishing an outside area as previously advised. That outside area needs to be secure, so a security mesh goes around it and with a combination of panelling as well. It's quite expensive. If you try to put security mesh over the entire area, I think it's over $30,000. We're establishing enough, so it's an open air facility. We'll be putting some ceiling fans in there and the like, and that can still be an outside area for people to enjoy from the cafe. There'll be new breakfast bars around the front of the cafe as part of this works program, which will establish a bit of greater seating facilities within that area. The outwards immigration office is completely demolished, which further expands the entire area. There is a new arrivals door into, I should say new departures door, but anyway, new departures door into the international terminal to complement that dual use operation that we're now using it for, bearing in mind that aircraft leave on the Saturday morning and come in on the Sunday afternoon, and so it can work quite well as what I call a tidal flow type of arrangement for international operations. This is an interim program. If we were moving to an ultimate program, you wouldn't normally operate in that fashion because you'd be hoping to expand operations and potentially have overlap. But that is encapsulated in the major works program, as shown previously through the concepts we've shown previously. There'll be new concertina doors now, and we'll go back in a sec just so I can highlight what I'm explaining here. The new concertina doors are designed to establish a queuing area for passengers coming off the international flight. Observations from looking at that flight is that people queue out the door at present because there is insufficient space inside the terminal, and in the 40 plus degree heat that you're going to have here, it's not a great customer experience. So we're actually taking advantage of when that becomes an international operator of expanding that queuing area within there. And then the glass wall will be demolished to create space. A new secure point will be established, and there will be some access toilets. If we go back, I'll just highlight those.
But the glass wall, glass panels are going to be kept
just to
go
off, get the bubbles
oh,
off.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, so the panels, I think they're going to be incorporated along down in here now. So they'll come off there. They'll be incorporated in here. There will be, so all of this completely goes. This concertina door currently sort of sits here. It'll come up to this area here, creating a larger queuing space for passengers coming into this area through here. Because this is now going to be a departures area, we're still investigating and finalising the seating options through here. We're taking this area out here, we're expanding it through here, and this area here, albeit an odd shape, is actually larger than the current departure lounge area for international operations. But it is an odd shape, and there are some security benches in there and everything else. Now, speaking with border agencies, they don't have an issue with them being there for departures and actually using the benches and the like. So we are starting to look at a range of collapsible seating which can be stacked and stored to allow that sort of operation. It would need to be 100 seats, so we need to work through the logistics of who does it. Is it something we add to a cleaning contract, get the cleaners to do it on a daily basis, or does our operational team have the excess capacity to do that as well? This is the outwards immigration area that gets demolished. With that gone there, the outwards immigration area there, a new bench will actually be straight across here, and there'll be actually a gap through here to increase access to the cafe. And with the screening set up like that, your actual departures lounge area now becomes this area all through here and here, because that's open during normal domestic operations right through here. So within the inside of the terminal, we are able to substantially expand the domestic departure experience. Our goal in this was not to worsen the international experience, but bearing in mind I showed you a plan where we could improve it, but it was $2.5 million. So the plan on this is obviously to spend substantially less, because this is not going to have it's got a finite life, is the best way to put it. You don't want to overspend on it. And we will establish, just through taking a piece of wall out here and getting the right entrance for disabled access, this is the mother's room, and it'll have a dual function now within the terminal as a disabled access and mother's room within that zone through there. And so there's some works that need to be done in there to make that access compliable and compatible. And then there's some ventilation works and the like. But this is the overall plan. So sorry, it's a bit complicated, but it's necessary, I guess, for the builders. Is there any questions on this?
I'm sorry, the mother's room, is that accessible by both sexes? Or is it going through the female?
It's disabled access, dual.
Okay, so it's parent room. I'm just thinking of fathers.
Parent room, yeah.
Fathers have that kind of role these days. So I was just concerned that both sexes could access that area.
Yeah,
that
that's
sort
the
of,
intention.
Yeah.
I'm using the
sorry.
Wrong word.
It was a small point.
Thank you, Brett. With the new breakfast areas you've got, will that go out to tender for other people, or will that be run by the cafe?
That has to be run by the cafe because they've got an agreement in place.
Okay.
Doesn't preclude us for, as we discussed before, about having the mobile car arrangement. When we go to this operation, the intention was to establish a mobile card operation for those that don't want to go through screening with passengers but still want an option to be able to have a coffee and a sandwich.
So, sorry, but just also, I suppose, outside of alcohol, you can take food and drink out to that anywhere there.
Yeah, you can. It's just alcohol. Obviously, that
the
bench
license,
defines
the
license area. All right, next slide. Okay, so as part of this program, we're introducing an arts wall with a 3 months installation time frame so that the art gets refreshed from time to time with local artists and school children. We're now currently investigating the curating options for that at this point in time to put that into the program, to be part of the program going forward. The introduction of the visitor information, brochures and racks and kiosks and options are being finalised at the moment. We've got a couple of sites identified for that, and we're just looking at the options in terms of the technology and how that's going to work, and we're just finalising those arrangements at the moment. The terminal amenity and cleanliness, that's ongoing. There was, I don't know if any of you have noticed now, but the toilet doors are now closed on a regular basis instead of being open with the associated smells. And windows have been cleaned and stickers have been taken off. So that's ongoing and taking place at the moment. We will also be looking at wayfinding and the replacement of terminal entrance sign. And what I mean by wayfinding is just looking at consistency with signage and making sure it's consistent and attractive and informative. And there's some examples on the side there of the sort of signage that I'm talking about within the terminal facility. And some quotes are now being sourced and attained for that at the moment. Then there's the public art around the front of the terminal wall. An example of that just there, as you can see, quite imaginative. Recognising that the terminal is quite dated and quite old, and this is a way of refreshing it at minimal cost. So it's almost like a public art contest, and we've got requests for proposals that will be issued in February for that, and we can assess those proposals, and with that we get some concepts of what that might look like. Painting for the exterior, that will be informed by the arts process. Once we know where we're heading with that, we'll determine what areas need painting and what colours they will be. Installing of shade sails at the front of the terminal. What we're talking about here is not across the entire front of the terminal, but just around the entrances to provide extra shade and shading for solutions. And that will be determined following the public art process as well, so that it's consistent with what we established for the arts feature that will be done on the wall. And then there's the shade structures to be installed on the verge. We're just finalising the cage structures for the footings. The certifications have all been given, so that's ready to go. We have those at the depot, ready to be installed. And that's going to happen as quickly as we possibly can. And then we're going to look at the verge structures and around the car park and the entrance in front of the terminal and doing a bit of a landscaping design around there to freshen up that area as well. That's going to be done internally with our team. But this one's been on the agenda for a long time, but the removal of the smoking from the front of the terminal. And we have to finalise within the cafe. As part of these programs, we'll be actually telling the cafe that they can't have smoking within that area, purely because it doesn't actually comply with current acts and legislation.
Sorry to interrupt again, but just the shade sales, just a suggestion. Could they be bundled up with the public art program? Because that could be something that complements any public art treatment along the front. And public artists are very experienced in developing functional systems, whether it's seating or shade sails, it's something that perhaps could be thought of, because that would introduce a bit more of an integration there, and it wouldn't cost any more to get a public artist to design and manufacture those within that budget that you've got.
Yeah, look, let's take it offline, we'll have a chat about that.
Sure.
I think that's a good idea. We've actually got quotes for it. But that was just us investigating what the likely costs were. Around $20,000 or something, shade sales and such like. But we can have a chat about bundling it up.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Sounds like a good outcome.
Just wondering, Brett, with the landscape verges, and particularly between the car park and terminal, is there any opportunity that we could look at options for edible verges and edible landscaping? Involving local environment groups, potentially?
I don't see why not. No, we hadn't thought about that, but it will come down to bird attraction and bird attraction issues. There's a list of plants that our ornithologist has said we can and can't use around an airport precinct. So subject to those constraints. So we don't want to be attracting birds to the airport, but subject to those constraints, sure, yeah.
Grow as many chilies as you like.
That's it, they don't eat birds.
I don't think birds eat chilies. All right, next slide. I think that's probably it, actually. Communication strategy, how could I forget? Okay.
That should be at the start of
Okay, so strategy was endorsed in December, and the objective, I won't read out the words, but you know what the objective is. It's part of our ongoing commitment and to developing the airport and engaging the community. Key activities is the launch and promote the resident program and promote regular and timely information. Go to the next slide just to give an update on. So in the media release issued was 16 December on the international freight operations. We'd like to announce these things where we can. And I think that was the first for that particular operation, for that particular operator, and it made the local press, which is great. The upcoming media releases that will be released will be around the interim works program and the redevelopment strategy following endorsement from council and the like. And information will also be displayed within the terminal. So that's where we're currently at with that strategy. Operational update. Security screening authority transition. The update there is that we've got council approval for the appointment of MSS Security as part of the interim program. And to explain that, to enable us to get endorsed as, I call it endorsed, but to become the screening authority operator, we needed to make an application to OTS. To make an application to OTS, we needed to make a couple of things happen. One of those was that we had to have established a contract with a security services provider, and we have to nominate the equipment that we'll be using for security services. The issue with that, of course, is under normal council procurement policies and processes, we would not be able to do that and then make the application and become the screening authority in the timeframes that Qantas had indicated he was transiting from the airport. So we've come up with an interim program. That interim program involved approval from the Office of Transport and Security to use the Qantas equipment until a sunset date. That approval was given till October this year and has been obtained. The MSS contract has been approved by council and we're in the process of filing contracts with them. That's for a 12-month period, so that's part of the interim program. The next steps for us is to engage with airlines in this month in terms of the charging and the charging regime. That figure is looking in line with the other airports. It's not out of sort or anything like that. It's around the $9.30 sort of mark. We will be sending letters to airlines, and we'll be making contact with them and just taking them through a model of that pricing, and then we'll bring that back to council in February for approval of that corresponding revenue item as a cost recovery item. Bob is now in a position to make the application to the become the screening authority and update the terminal TSP, the terminal security program for the transport security program. So that's where we're currently at, and then we will be taking over as the screening authority and managing that contract going forward from April 2014. So that's the current program. Bearing in mind that the OTS, Office of Transport and Security, does take 60 days to process the application. But it's just part of the process that we need to work through. Cool. In terms of approvals from OTS, they have approved the interim arrangements at this point in time. So we're on track in terms of program at this stage. It's all very tight still, but we're on track. Power and pushback, which we talked about before, I think I've probably explained exactly where we're at with that in terms of an update. Are there any questions?
Members? No, thanks very much, Director. You've been very informative. Okay, we'll revert back to Back to item 10.2.1.1 on page 18 of the agenda, Port Hedland International Airport Project Update with the officer's recommendation on page 19.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Seconder? Thank you, Dr. King. All in favour? Let the record reflect 6-0. Move on to 10.2.1.2, Port Hedland International Airport Maintenance Contract for Checked Baggage Screening X-ray Equipment, with the officer's recommendation on page 25. Do I have a mover?
26.
Page 26, you're right. Do I have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Seconder?
No, second.
Thank you, Dr. King. All in favour? 6-0. 10.2.1.3, Port Hedland International Redevelopment Program Review by Raven Airport Consulting, with the officer's recommendation on page. This is probably 33.
So moved.
No points of clarification. Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Thank you, Dr. King.
Yep.
Page 34, item 11, late items as permitted by presiding member of the Airport Committee.
That was the first one. Oh, we did that first and then we went back to the presentation.
There are nil, so we'll move on to motions of which previous notice has been given. Item 12, there are nil.
Excuse me. Was there a vote on the last?
There was, 6-0.
You didn't ask for it.
No, I didn't ask for it. I'm naughty. All in favour for the motion on page 33?
Yep.
6-0. Thanks, Grace. Item 11, late items, there being nil. Item 12, motions of which previous notice has been given, nil. Item 13, confidential items, nil again. Item 14, attendance by teleconference. We have a reminder that committee members are reminded that they are required to indicate whether they need to attend the next meeting by way of teleconference, as this will have to be approved by council at its next ordinary meeting. So I will have a call. Is there anyone that won't be able to attend the meeting on the 5th of February and requires a teleconference hookup? No? There being nil? Item 15, applications for leave of absence. Councillor Mayor Howlett?
No.
Dr. King?
No.
Councillor Hunt?
No.
Councillor Butson? Flo?
No.
Okay. Right, then we just come down to item 16, closure. The date of the next meeting, item 16.1, is Wednesday, the 5th of February. And at that meeting, I think we've got several things that'll be coming forward. Now, Brett and I normally meet the day before, so if anybody's interested, we'll shoot through an invite just to discuss a few things. Item 16, closure. I declare the meeting closed at 1:38.